us to 3.12. We discussed a lot of concepts, that's why we couldn't cover so many verses. So, let's come to Yakshishta shina santo Ucchante sarva kilvishai Pujyate te tvatam papa Ye pachanti atma karana
Ye pachanti atma
So, now, if you see the verse 10 is like a seed, and this is we expanded. What did verse 10 say? That by this two things will happen to you. Esha vostu ishta kama dhuk, it will fulfill your desires. And he said that shreyaha paramavapsi, that was the next verse which said that. You will get the ultimate shreya also. So how that ultimate shreya? In one sense, getting our material needs is short term. Shreya is getting our spiritual fulfillment. So how one will get that is described in this verse. The previous verse described how one needs to satisfy the devatas to get our material needs. Otherwise we are thieves. Then this verse talks about how we will become purified by this person of yajna. So yajna, in one sense, has the external purpose of satisfaction of our material needs. It also has the internal purpose of purification. So how does the purification take place? Describe that. Bhunjate te to agam. It says that Uchchante sarva kilvishai. Uchchante is to be free from. Kilvishai is contaminations. So people become freed from all contaminations when they take Yag Ashina means to excel. Yagyashishta. Uchchishta is the remnant. So Yagyashishta is the remnants of Yagya. When one takes that, those who take that, Krishna is using the word Santa for them. It's the first time Krishna has used this word in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna has used the word yoga and yogi also to some extent. Santa is using for the first time. Santa is a much more of a devotional word. Not exactly bhakta, but santa. So he's telling Munjate te. On the other hand, so the santas will become purified by taking Yagyashishtashina. But those who don't do that, they Pachantya Atma Karana, those who are actually taking the food that is used to cook for sense gratification, Atma Karana, they are actually taking sin. So therefore Krishna is telling that this process is essential not only for our external maintenance but also to save us from karmic reactions, to keep us protected. Previous verse said that these people are sthena. You wonder, okay, these people are just living on happily, but no. They are being bound by karma and they will get the reactions. So this is this and 9.25 are the two verses, 9.26 are the two verses that we talk for the scriptural basis of prasad. This is we have to offer. We should offer yajna. 9.26 is patram pushpam palam toyam. Where Krishna says that we should offer to him and I will accept. So this Prabhupada quotes how he says, Prevan in the Churita Bhakti Sulochaya, Santaha. There also the word Santaha comes. Prabhupada immediately correlates that word there. That the Santas are actually having a Prabhupada using the word compact of love. See, that Santas being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of God is Govinda or Mukunda or Krishna. Cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. So, this is the verse which talks about offering Bhoga. And now, Bhoga is one important thing we offer, but in one sense, everything that we use, we sanctify by offering to the Lord. And Uddhava Gita Uddhava says that actually we devotees become purified by taking your remnants. The remnants include not just the food, but the other paraphernalia also. We accept the garland that is offered to the Lord. We take the fragrance that is offered to the Lord. So like that, we become purified. So all of the shishta, yagya shishta, shina. Now Krishna is going further to describe how this whole system works. Question?
Here it is mentioned that Yajna Shishta Shiva, various ones also performance of Yajna is like to satisfy devotees. Is it like practical Yajna? This previous ones is Yajna Bhavita. So
Yeah, now if you look at the context, is it Krishna talking about a practical yajna? Even in the Vedic times, there are some yajnas which are performed on a daily basis. A Brahmana has performed the Agnishtoma yajna, the Agnihotra. That's what they perform regularly. And there are some yajnas which are like very rare, like Rajasuya and Ashwamedha, they are very rare yajnas. Person has to require a lot of resources, has to have a lot of resources. So there are certain yajnas which are performed regularly. Ramayana says that Dashrath Maharaj had a sacrificial fire which was never extinguished. He kept it on constantly. So that means some sort of yajna was going on. But here when Krishna is using it, obviously yajna shishta shina. Now how can one, literally speaking, eat the remnants of yajna? When we have diksha, at that time maybe the food that is offered, we may take a little bit of that and apply it on our head. But apart from that, it cannot refer literally. Because yajnashishta ashina, the remnants of yajnashishta is not always edible. So if Krishna is talking here, he is talking in the broad sense. In the broad sense. Originally it might have a narrow meaning, yes. And I should do yajna. And it gives a particular result. But if we are trying to apply it to the context of eating, then it has to be in a broader sense. That the food that we eat, we offer to the Lord and then we take it. Clear? So now Krishna goes into the background to describe how, when we satisfy the demigod, we get satisfied. How yajna plays a role in that. Annan bhavanti bhutani.
Annan bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyadanna sambhava.
Parjanyadanna sambhava.
Yajna bhavati parjanyo.
Yajna bhavati parjanyo.
Yajna karma samudbhavah.
Yajna karma samudbhavah.
So, anna bhavanti bhutani. By anna, all the living beings have enjoyed. And how does the anna come? By parjanya. Parjanya is rains. Of course, parjanya can also be a proper noun. Parjanya was the... Anyone remember in Krishna Lila? Parjanya was the grandfather of Krishna. And the Maharaj's father is known as Parjanya. So, yajnat bhavati parjanyo. Now, the first two points we can understand with our observation. We need food to eat and food comes from rains. Krishna has given, in this chain of reasoning, Krishna has given some further points. That parjanya comes from yajna. And he says, yajna karma samudbhava. Yajna is born from karma. We'll look at the cycle. Let's look at the second verse first. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi.
Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi.
Brahmakshara samudbhavam.
Brahmakshara samudbhavam.
Tasmat sarvagatam brahma.
Tasmat sarvagatam brahma.
Vityam yagya pratishthitam.
Vityam yagya pratishthitam.
Then he's going back and saying, okay, karma, how do I know what is my karma? Karma I know from Brahma. So here Brahma refers to scriptures. And where do the scriptures come from? Brahma akshara samudbhavam. Scriptures come from Krishna. From the Akshara, from the transcendental absolute truth. The Lord will be referred to as Akshara in the 15th chapter. Dvavayam Purusha Lokesharas Chakshara Ivacha. So, actually, in the 8th chapter also, the absolute truth is referred to as Akshara. So, that Lord who never deteriorates, who never falls, the absolute truth. Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma. So, that Brahma is situated everywhere. Is all pervading through the medium of yajna. Nityam yajna pratishthitam. So, here's a diagram to illustrate this. This one's a little bit of a Nityam yajna pratishthitam. So, is it visible? Then we can take a slightly. So, let's start the chain from where Krishna's. Anna bhavanti bhutani. So, the living entities are maintained by Anna. And the Anna comes from Parjanya. The Parjanya comes from Yajna. The rains come from Yajna. Yajna comes from karma. Yajna means those who are doing their prescribed duties. So as a part of prescribed duties, they should also do yajna. Yajna is a part of the prescribed duties for everyone. And karma comes from the Vedas. So now, here when we say that it is not that the Vedas come from the living entity, but the living entities follow the Vedas. That's the sense over here. So actually, you know, Krishna is at the center of the circle, and Krishna is also the whole of the circle. Akshara is the center of the circle as well as the whole of the circle. So in one sense, actually, how you could put this is that actually, along with this Vedas, you could put the arrow over here in the middle. That arrow indicates that Krishna is at the center of this whole. How you do that? So Akshara in center, and from Akshara also the Vedas come, and in one sense this is chakra that is going on. Krishna will talk about chakra in the next verse, but there is something more also over here. A living entity can actually get out of this chakra, and when he gets out of this chakra, so Akshara is also ultimately the goal. The living entity will go on the cycle of birth and death, and he will also come out of the cycle of birth and death. So our existence in material life is maintained by the Lord, and our transcendence from material life is also achieved by the Lord. So I'll repeat this once again for the sake of clarity. Avoid the Sanskrit term, just try to understand this from the point of view of logic. So all of us, we subsist by food. Food comes by, start backwards from here, all of us, we subsist by food. Food comes by rains. Rains comes by yajna. Yajna is done by people who are doing their duties. Will follow their duties, they will do yajna as a part of the duty. How will people know what is their duty? That they will know from the Vedas. So Veda here is Brahma. And then how will people come to know about the Vedas? The Vedas are given by the Lord. And when the Vedas are given by the Lord, the people have to actually come to the Vedas, approach the Vedas, and learn what is their duty. And then this whole cycle will go on. The crucial thing here is that the link between the Bhutani and the Vedas. Because once that happens, then other things will follow. Now, in one sense, it's a natural cycle. But where our free will is exercised is whether we follow the Vedas or not. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that you should follow the Vedas. And in this way, the all-pervading transcendence is accessible to you through yajna. So, how is the way out of this material existence possible? That is through yajna. Is this clear? Any questions about this? Yeah. So, what does this mean? All-pervading transcendence is situated in yajna. That means that although Krishna is all-pervading, we cannot access him everywhere. The way for us to connect with him is through yajna. And we always manifest to him. Nityam yajna pratishthitam. Srila Prabhupada will give the example that water is everywhere in the atmosphere. If I am thirsty, I cannot just stick out my and drink water from the water. No. What happens is, I need a medium by which I can access the water. So that water has to be converted through rains, through clouds, through rains, into a river, and from the river it comes to a tap, and then it comes to my house. Turn on the tap, then I can drink the water. So, although the water vapor, water is accessible everywhere as water vapor, it's water is present everywhere as water vapor, it is not accessible to me everywhere. It is accessible in a particular form. Similarly, Brahma, the absolute truth is everywhere. But Brahma is not accessible everywhere. Brahma is accessible to us through Yajna. So yes, Krishna is everywhere, but when we chant his holy name, then we perceive his presence. So Krishna is all pervading, but for us he is manifested through specific manifestations. Okay? Yes, good, subtle point. I was going to come to that. See here, this is a verse which is quite technical in the sense of the second part's flow. Different acharyas give different meanings. But what akshara means and what Brahma means. So I am keeping things simple over here. In this particular verse, the word in 3.15, the word Brahma comes twice. But the two meanings of Brahma in the same verse are different. I'll come back to this. Let's look at the verse here. So, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samodbhavam. So, this is twice it has come already. But both of them are in the first line. If you look at from Sanskrit point of view, it's one line. So, in that, the meaning is the same. That karma comes from Brahma, then Brahma refers to Vedas, and the Vedas come from Akshara. Akshara refers to the absolute truth. That's how Prabhupada translates it here. Isn't it? The right matter is from the Supreme Personality of God. I think Prabhupada will quote over here. Yeah. This verse from the Vedaranika Upanishad, famous verse. It says how the Vedas are manifested in the breathing of the Supreme Lord. Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yat rigvedo yajurvedo samvedo atharva angirasaha. So, he is explaining this point, Brahma akshara samadbhava. However, now next line, when tasmat sarvagatam Brahma. Here when the word Brahma comes to, obviously, scripture is not all pervading.
It's like saying that when we say everything is Brahma, it means that the Supreme God, in the form of Brahma, will be all these elements are finally the Brahma.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all pervading aspect of the Supreme God in this world is known as Brahma.
Right. And what does the word Sarvagatam Brahma, the all pervasiveness of Brahma, refer to? It's a good question. I was emphasizing some other point. Let me complete that. What I was saying is, in the third line, the word Brahma does not refer to Vedas. Because Vedas are not all-pervading. Their message may be applicable everywhere, but Vedas themselves are not all-pervading. So therefore, if we look at the context, the word Brahma cannot mean the Vedas. And Prabhupada explained, all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in the acts of sacrifice. So how is the Supreme Lord all-pervading? Supreme Lord is all pervading in four ways. As Brahma Jyoti, as you rightly pointed out, the Brahma Jyoti is the substratum of all existence. Prabhupada will explain in the 4th chapter, 24th verse, that matter, that when the Brahman is covered by matter, when Brahman is covered by illusion, that is called as matter. We'll come to that. The point is, Brahman is pervading everywhere. Krishna is also as all pervading as the Paramatma. Andantarastha paramanu jayantarastha. Krishna is also all-pervading as his energies. Krishna is non-different from his energies. So, everything, matter and spirit is ultimately his energy. And at one level, all of the energies of Krishna are non-different from him. So, through his energies also he is all-pervading. And another way is that as his representatives. So this is, for example, the idea of the story that Yudhishthira Maharaj told, go and eat this fruit where nobody can see you. He says, no, the witnesses are always there who are seeing me. And Ajamil's pastime also, the Amanta says that the witnesses are always seeing. So this is how he spells it, all pervading through his representatives also. They have their jurisdictions. And there is no place where there is no jurisdiction of any representative of the law. Always, wherever we go, somebody, we are under somebody's jurisdiction. So the last all-pervasiveness is more through his powers. It's more through his power is present everywhere. So this is how in our philosophy, we understand that Krishna is all-pervading in all these ways. So when Krishna talks, tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajna patishtutam. So the word brahma as it is used over here is not unambiguous. So if we look at the whole context, Krishna has not yet talked about Bhagwan himself in the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, what Krishna is saying is the transcendental principle is accessible to you everywhere. So this can refer to the spiritual reality we can connect with. So it can, as you write, it can refer to Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, in that sense. But the basic principle is the spiritual reality becomes accessible to us in the material world through yajna. Through yajna, the spiritual reality becomes accessible to us. So, is it clear? It can be, because unless our acharyas give some specific meaning, Prabhupada uses the non-specific translation, transcendence. And I'll require a full class to explain what different acharyas say and why they say for this section, so I won't go into it. It's like there are some translations where there are different approaches to understanding the philosophy. For example, this verse, and then there is 7.15, Namam Nishkritu Namudha. So, who are the four categories of people who are actually being addressed by Krishna? Each acharya gives a different meaning for that. And Sotamaj gives an explanation for that also. He says that the standard of the Vaishnava acharyas is to expose and refute the current brand of Maya. The current brand of Maya. So whichever brand of Maya is prevalent at that time, the acharyas will be refuting that brand of Maya. So that means, and if Madhavacharya's time is there, so Madhavacharya, what kind of Dushkritina are present at that time? He will explain his commentary how these are the people who are not surrendering to Krishna. So when Baldev Devaki is present, he is giving his commentary, he will explain which Dushkritina is present at that time. So now, for example, there Baldev Devaki talks about four kinds of Buddhists. Some Buddhists say that this world exists. Some Buddhists say that matter exists. Other Buddhists say that mind exists, matter may or may not exist. Other Buddhists say mind exists, matter doesn't exist. And other Buddhists say that neither matter nor mind, nothing exists. So these are four different kinds of Buddhists. Prabhupada makes it very simple, just Shunyavadi, the last category. All of them have technical length, and Baldev Devaki refutes all of them. So now that is completely irrelevant for us. You know? That doesn't matter. So that's why. So similarly, the different acharyas have given different meanings of this verse also. So we don't have to go into technicalities too much. But it can refer to basically the spiritual reality becomes accessible in the material world. That's the broad principle that we understand. Yes. Any further points? Questions? Yeah, acts for satisfaction of Krishna connect us with the spiritual reality. That's the point of it. Okay. Now, in the next verse, Krishna will describe the fate of those who don't participate in this chakra. So, participate in chakra means they have to follow the Vedas, do their prescribed duties and do yajna, both. So like in the morning I was telling that for the law-abiding citizens, for the citizens of the country, it's not just enough to pay taxes. They have to pay taxes and follow the laws of the state. So following the laws of the state is like doing karma. And one of the important karma of a citizen of the state is to pay taxes. So like that, the highlighted karma which is talked about is yajna. So both have to be done. When both are done, then the cycle is maintained. So Krishna will explain now, those who don't participate in cycle. Evam pravartitam chakram.
Evam pravartitam chakram.
Nanuvartayati hayaha.
Nanuvartayati hayaha.
Aghayurindriya ramo.
Aghayurindriya ramo.
Mogham partha sajivati.
Mogham partha sajivati.
So, Amogham. Their life is waste. Amogham means, Vyasadeva is called an Arjuna as Amoghadruk. What you can see is infallible. So it never goes waste. So Amogham, your life will go, their life, Jivati, the life they live in vain. Who are those people? This chakra, which is chakra pravartita, this natural chakra that is going on. Nanu vartayati ve, those who do not participate in this chakra. So, agha yur, their life is filled with agha, that is sin, agha asurviya. So Krishna had earlier talked about those who don't form yajna, 3.13 says, te, ye pachanti atma karana, what happens with mujdete to agham papa. The same point is agha yur. And he is telling, indriya aramo. So Shukadeva Goswami says, atma aram, he is delighting in atma. But these people are delighting in indriya, indriya aramo, they try to delight in indriya. And what is the consequence? They fill their lives with sin and they live in vain. Now what does live in vain means? A human life is a potential opportunity for liberation or at least elevation. One can go out of material existence or at least one can elevate oneself. But if one misses the opportunity of human life, then one continues the cycle of birth and death. So just a person is living in vain. A person gets admission in a premier institute and doesn't graduate from there. And say that you wasted your 4 years. So like that, if somebody comes to the human body and doesn't use it to elevate himself, then the person is aghayu, is mogham bharatasudhi, the person is living in vain. So Prabhupada talks about eat, drink and be merry. Mammonist philosophies. Mammon is the god of money. So just to people who live only for money and enjoyment, like Ranikashipu, they are living a very risky life. And they are going to suffer. The prosperity of the world, nice sentence here, depends not on our own efforts, but on the background arrangement of the Supreme Lord, directly carried out by the demigod. It depends on background arrangement. So, some people say, actually, what is God doing? We work hard, by our hard work, we get the money. And we are earning. Where is God coming into the picture? What is God doing actually? So, what is God doing? You see how it is that if you look at the example of, there is a saying in English, the birds search for grains, but God provides the grains. So, the birds surely have to search for the grains. But their search is not creating the grains. Their search is only to find what has already been created and provided. So, that means for our necessities, Krishna's arrangement is primary. Our efforts are secondary. For getting our necessities, Krishna's arrangement is primary. We human beings can work extremely hard, but if the rains don't come, nobody can do anything. We cannot produce grains by magic. You know, we have a very sophisticated science right now, but with all our science, we have only food processing industries. We don't have food producing industries. The only food producing industry is nature. The only food producing industry is nature. With all our science and technology, we cannot replicate in our labs what nature does in the fields. I mentioned earlier also how most of our technical and technological wizardry is providing luxuries, not necessities. By none of our technological wizardry can we get oxygen. The pollution is getting, air is getting polluted. We can't provide oxygen. Maybe a little bit we can provide for people to breathe when they are on their cylinder, they need some ventilation, something like that. But we cannot produce water by that. We cannot produce food by that. So, we want to live, we need space for living. Science cannot produce the space also. So if you look at our foundational necessities, science cannot provide those. That's why, actually speaking, it's ultimately Krishna's arrangement is primary. And our endeavors are secondary. They are important, but they are secondary. So, such a person lives in vain. Now, Krishna has talked about the second section. So here, what is the conclusion if you just go over these verses? The section started with 3.9, where 3.9 we discussed was Krishna said, perform yajna. And otherwise he will be bound. 3.10 said that this is the system of yajna is coming right from creation. It will fulfill all your desires. 11 said that actually you cooperate with the demigods, both will be happy. 12 says those who don't cooperate, they are thieves. 13 said that, goes further and says that actually if you cooperate, you will be purified. If you don't cooperate, you will be eating sin. In 14, 15, go into the elaboration of the chakra. How the whole system works. And how our component in that is to perform a yajna. And then 16th verse will explain how actually those who don't cooperate, they are living in vain. So in this way, Krishna has told Arjuna that actually for you to, as a kshatriya, if you want to do yajna, you have to have a kingdom. And for getting the kingdom, you have to fight, you have to do your karma. So Krishna is talking, at one level he said that to become free from karmic bondage, if you work for me, you become free from karmic bondage. But then he says, actually, to even maintain yourself and to be a part of the cosmic cycle, you have to do karma. So Krishna has now talked at the level of karma kanda. So like the spiral started from karma yoga, then he went down to karma kanda, now the spiral will go up to jnana yoga. So Krishna and Arjuna, if you think that you are qualified not just for karma kanda, not just for karma yoga, but you are qualified for jnana yoga. That means you are qualified enough that you are, if you go and renounce the world, you will not become a hypocrite. You will actually entirely renounce the world completely. Still, you should perform the duty. That he will explain in the next verse. Next set of verses. Yastvātmaratireva syād.
Yastvātmaratireva syād.
Ātmatruptascha mānavaha.
Ātmatruptascha mānavaha.
Ātmanyeva ca santuṣṭas.
Ātmanyeva ca santuṣṭas.
Asya kāryam na vidyate.
Asya kāryam na vidyate.
So, Krishna is describing the person who has the adhikar for practicing jnana. What is the primary adhikar? One has to have some internal satisfaction. When can a person give up activity? See, all of us do activity because we need something, we want to get something. So, when a person doesn't have that craving for something externally satisfied within, then such a person is qualified for renouncing the world. Atmarati, Atmatrupta, Atmasantushti. Krishna is emphasizing the same point again and again. For such a person, tasya karyam navidyate. So here karya refers not just as activity but as obligation, duty. So Bhagavad Gita uses the word karya and karma in a slightly different way. Although in Hindi both may mean the same. Anashita karma phalam karyam karma karoti. 6.1 the verse will come. Generally Krishna uses the word karya in the sense of obligatory activity. That which we have to do because that is our duty. So, tasya karyam na vidyate. For such a person, there is no duty. So, why is he saying that? The idea in Vedic culture is that if we are a part of a system and we are taking something from the system, then we have to contribute something to the system. So, if I am taking things from the nature, then I have to contribute something to nature. If I don't want to do anything in nature, then I should not take anything from nature. So this is a basic understanding of reciprocity. Cooperation means I also have to contribute. So, but if somebody is not taking anything from anyone, then it is okay, then you don't have to contribute. You can detach yourself. For that, you will be completely satisfied. So then Prabhupada explains how a pure devotee is completely satisfied with Krishna's service. Prabhupada, as we discussed that, he explains everything from the transcendental platform of pure devotee service. Now Krishna will do a brilliant turn of logic. So Arjuna says, okay, such a person doesn't have to do duty. Am I in that level? Krishna will say, yes, such a person doesn't have to do his duty, But he also has no reason to not do the duty.
So he just turns it around very beautifully. Naivatasya krute narto.
Naivatasya krute narto.
Na krute neha kashchana.
Na krute neha kashchana.
Vichasya sarva bhuteshu.
Vichasya sarva bhuteshu.
Kashchidartha vyapashrayaha.
Kashchidartha vyapashrayaha.
So tasya of such a person, naiva, certainly not krute narto. He does not have to do kruti for any purpose. He does not have any reason to act. But na akruteneha kashchana. But nor does he have any reason to be akruta, not doing activity also. Because for him, he is detached from the world. Even if he acts in the world, he will not become bound. Vichasya sarva bhuteshu kashchit artha vyapashrayaha. Because he is not dependent on anyone. Now, sarva bhuteshu doesn't include the Supreme Lord over here. Sarva bhuteshu refers to all other living beings. He is not dependent on any of them. He is not taking shelter of anybody. So he doesn't have to act. But he doesn't have to renounce also. Just like, this is actually similar to what is described in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, where there is a conversation between Swayambhu Manu, Narad Muni, and Brahmaji and Priyavrat. You know, Priyavrat has already sort of renounced the world. And because Daksha is still gone for the tapasya, not yet come back, then there's nobody to take up the administration of the world. So at that time, Swayambhu Manu comes and tells, you have please take up this kingdom. He says, no, I cannot take it up. And Narad Muni says, don't take it up. And then Brahmaji comes over there. And then Brahmaji tells him that actually, you know, don't be resentful of those who are your well-wishers. That actually, he says, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate well-wisher. And what is being ordained over here is the will of the Supreme Lord. Don't be resentful. He says, you will not get involved. And then he talks about this, that if a person is detached, then even householder life cannot entangle such a person. And if a person is attached, even renounce order will also not help such a person. So he says, even if when he's attached, still one will have his six wives with him. Who are the six wives?
Five senses.
And the mind. Yeah. Bhavyasa patnya eva geya patim lunanti. So, therefore, and when Brahmaji comes along and says like this, and immediately Narad Muni also agrees and he surrenders. So, the Bhagavatam offers us examples for all occasions. If somebody wants to justify Grahastha Ashram, they can take this. Somebody wants to justify Brahmacharya Ashram, they can say, Chatush Kumara said no, even when their father told them.
So there also Brahmaji was only there.
But Chatush Kumara said no. And the Bhagavatam doesn't in any way minimize that. It glorifies them also, Father. They are also part of the Bhagavatam in a very glorious way. This is Priyavrat does heroic activity. So Kumara is also so renowned that they instruct so many great personalities. They instruct even in the Karvaj and all these Kumaras, they are instructing. They come to Prithu Maharaj, they come to many other places and they keep instructing the Bhagavatam. So the idea is that both are valid. So because Arjuna is expected by Krishna to do a particular duty, he's fighting the war and he established Dharma, so he's explaining this point. So now after this, Krishna will come to the action part. This is because the person, for him, whether he acts or doesn't act, it doesn't make any difference for him. Because he's detached from the world. So therefore, he should act for benefiting others. Tasmad asakta satatam.
Tasmad asakta satatam.
Karyam karma samachara.
Karyam karma samachara.
Asakto yacharan karma.
Asakto yacharan karma.
Paramapnoti purushaha.
Paramapnoti purushaha.
So therefore, with detachment, asaktaha. See, asaktaha and asaktaha are two different. Just one dash is all that makes the world of difference over there. Asaktaha and asaktaha. Asaktaha, asaktaha. We detach always. Karyam karma, do your duty. And he says, by doing your duty, you will attain paramapnoti, you will attain liberation. Now, how can by action somebody attain liberation? Param. Now, what is the param is not clearly explained. But Prabhupada explains the purport immediately. And for the param is the personality awarded for the devotees and it's moksha liberation for the impersonalists. But he is telling, how will I get param? Then immediately Krishna will give an example in the next verse. Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim.
Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim.
Astita janakadaya.
Astita janakadaya.
Lokasangrahamevapi.
Lokasangrahamevapi.
Sampashyan kartumarhasi.
Sampashyan kartumarhasi.
So he is giving an example. Paramapnoti purusha, who is attained like that? Astita janakadaya. Janak and many other kings are there like that. Who have attained this? Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim. By karma itself they have attained samsiddhi. Complete perfection they have attained. And therefore, lokasangraha. Lokasangraha. Actually, sangraha means in one sense, maintenance. So, to maintain, to hold together the world, sampashyan kartumarhasi. You deserve to maintain the world. So, there's a story about Janak Maharaj. How he was, every day he would take time hearing Krishna Katha, hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And some days, because of his royal administration, he would get late. And the main Kathakar who was there, he would wait till Janak Maharaj would come. And then he would start the Katha. And there are other people also who were there in the Katha. And some Brahmins were also there. And they were thinking, oh, this Kathakar, he is just flattering the king. For the sake of the king, he is delaying the Katha. This is not proper. This is not proper. So, they were thinking like that. So, one day, Janak Maharaj came for the Katha. But when he would come for the Katha, he would just sit and absorb himself in hearing. And then every day he was sitting, and one day when the Katha was going on, suddenly the guards came and said, actually, there is a fire in the area of the palace. So Janak Maharaj just looked out and says, do whatever is required to extinguish the palace. And now, if you see how the traditional was, then the king's palace would be there, then that would be near the temple, and around the temple, the central temple, there would also be the Brahmin's residences. So then, they came along, some soldiers came, actually the area of the Brahmin's also there is fire. So again the king said, go and do the needful to extinguish the fire completely. And he said, please continue here. But when the Brahmins heard, oh, there is a fire here, they all jumped up from the Katha and ran away. And they ran. Now, of course, they couldn't do anything to extinguish the fire. There were the king's servants only who were extinguishing the fire. But they extinguished the fire, and when they saw that everything was calm, they came back. And still the Krishna Katha was going on, and Janak Maharaj was absorbed in hearing it. So then they understood that actually he was responsible in his own way. He had his worldly responsibilities to do, but at the same time, when he came for Krishna Katha, he was absorbed. Whereas we were claiming that we are on time for Krishna Katha, but when the attack, when the danger to our material things came up, we had left everything and went away. So, this is Janak Maharaj is the example of Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim. One who actually does his karma, who does his worldly duties responsibly, but also allocates time in a committed way for one's spiritual duties. And in this way, one can attain liberation. So, in the next class, we will discuss about Krishna's own example. So Krishna will, in general, teaching happens in specifics and abstracts. Specific means you give example. Okay, Srila Prabhupada went and preached to America in an old age and all alone, and then we give general principle. So all of us need to sacrifice for sharing Krishna's example. That's an abstract or general principle. And then again, you may give some other example in our community where devotees are sacrificing so much. So what Krishna does is, he is giving one example, a specific example of Janak over here. Then he will give the abstract or general principle next verse, Yadyad Acharati Sreshtas. And then after that, he will give his own example in 3 verses, 22, 23, 24. And when he gives that example, in that example he will refute the Varna Sankara argument of Arjuna also. So we'll discuss this tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta ki jai, Gaura.